It's irritating how much gets lost in translation. There's a lot more to the art of translation than simply reaching for a foreign language dictionary. Indeed, there are certain foreign words that defy accurate translation. The German word gemütlich and its Danish equivalent hügelig, for instance. Both words are usually translated as cozy. But the English word cozy in no way conveys the full extent of the warm, companionable togetherness implicit in gemütlich and hügelig. Similarly, the word epistle is translated both in Latin and Biblical Greek as a letter. In fact, epistle is a literary form for which there is no English equivalent. Certainly, however, letter is a better translation than book. That said, at Pentecost, the disciples were given the gift of tongues by the Holy Spirit. Even so, the remarkable people who work as simultaneous translators for government, big business, the United Nations, and the like, somehow achieve similar results without divine assistance. Having attempted to do the job on a couple of occasions myself, I know from personal experience how remarkably skilled the true professionals are. For a rank amateur like me, it was an utterly nerve-wracking experience. The problem is that it doesn't matter how well you speak a foreign language, if you're not a native, there are bound to be gaps in your knowledge that catch you completely unaware. For example, when our family moved to Germany, my wife Charlotte's command of the language was quite rudimentary, but I, on the other hand, was fluent. I have a good ear for languages. My accent was better than average. I was entirely comfortable discussing political, social, economic, and business issues in German. And I had no trouble reading a restaurant menu. What could possibly go amiss? Plenty, it turned out. When Charlotte took me to shop for household appliances, the gaps in my knowledge became embarrassingly apparent. We need a dishwasher and a tumbler dryer, Charlotte told me as we walked into the showroom. I had no idea what they were called in German. Dishwashers and clothes dryers were never figured in the books I'd read. And indeed, the articles had never crossed my mind in English, let alone German. I swallowed hard and resorted to literal translation. The bemused salesman, however, failed to grasp what I meant by Telewash machine, and Trommeltrockner. In the end, by dint of a good deal of giggling and arm-waving and pointing at miscellaneous household equipment, we shook hands on a Geschirrspülgerät, and a Wäschetrockner. Mercifully, Charlotte, always a fast study, swiftly picked up the language from the ladies in the village and soon became an expert on everything from homemaking to auto repair to industrial economics. We were fortunate that our most embarrassing mistakes took place in the relative privacy of a department store showroom. There have been many far less fortunate. For example, the US official who wrote the speech President John F. Kennedy delivered in West Berlin in 1963. Proclaiming his solidarity with the beleaguered city, then being heavily harassed by the Soviets, his speechwriter had the president declare, "Ich bin ein Berliner." The message JFK intended to convey was that in spirit he was a citizen of Berlin. What in fact he said was, "I am a jelly donut." The words that would have proclaimed him a citizen of Berlin are, "Ich stamm aus Berlin." Still worse is the case of the anonymous advertising executive charged with introducing the US cigarette brand Mohr to the German market. The word Mohr translates into German as mir. The word mir, however, does not have quite the same ring in German as Mohr does in English. It was therefore decided to market the cigarette under the brand name M, using the slogan M ist mir. It was a catastrophic decision. The designer who laid out the type on the advertising posters placed the capital letter M and the ist so close together they could easily be read as the word mist. Unfortunately, the word mist translates into English as dung, or rather more genteelly, horse manure. The slogan, "More horse manure," prompted hoots of laughter throughout Germany, but few cigarette sales. The slogan was hurriedly changed to M equals Mir, but failed to save the situation. M disappeared from the tobacconist's shelves in short order. The perils of linguistic ignorance were graphically illustrated by Kurt Weisskopf, Reuters news agency's East European correspondent, a man fluent in more than a dozen languages. Kurt came to Britain as a refugee from Nazi-occupied Czechoslovakia just before World War II. We were lodged in a small English seaside town, utterly different from Prague and its cosmopolitan cafe society, he said. We desperately wanted to find a cafe where we could talk and read newspapers as we did back home. None of us spoke English, so we scraped together a little money and gave it to a chap who claimed to speak a few words of English and sent him in search of a cafe. Hours later, our intrepid explorer returned triumphant. "I have found the cafe," he announced grandly. "It is called Cafe Open."